for a moment. And then next thing I knew, the bed is wheeling down the hallway towards great big double doors. And she's gone. And I'm standing there out there in the hallway like, okay, when do we get the cigar? Just like lost. A nurse comes rushing by and says, it's okay, you'll gown up and go in a moment. And then she goes through the doors. And I stand there in terror, wondering what is going on. Nobody's telling me anything. And 15 minutes later, a nurse comes out of those same doors. She's got this little pink bundle in her arms. And she walks up to me and says, this is your baby. And I take this little pink bundle. She let me have it for a second, just a second. I take this little pink bundle in my arms and I look down at this round, perfect, beautiful face. You know, emergency cesarean sections, they don't get all beat up in the process. They just come out like round, beautiful and flawless. And I look down at this little being and I say, I didn't say it, but I'm sure I felt it. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Now, it's not actually that I thought Rachel was the savior of the world or was destined to be the savior of the world. And so far, it hasn't turned out quite that way. But when I looked at that little person, when I looked at that little being, what I saw was the salvation of the world. I saw beauty. I saw purity. I saw gentleness and goodness. And something happened inside me that doesn't happen every day. Sometimes not every week. Maybe months go by. My heart just melted and softened. And my spirit opened. And that is the wholeness of God. That is the salvation of the Lord. And that is the journey into which we are. You know, when Simeon takes this child into his arms, and he holds this child, and he looks down at this baby, and he says to the mother, at least in this version, he says, this child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. The inner thoughts. You know, sometimes translators make me cranky. Inner thoughts. The word is psuche. It means soul. So that your inner soul will be revealed. That's what happened to Simeon. That's what happened to me. My inner soul was broken open to this amazing gift of light and goodness and beauty. And it was a total surprise. How does that happen? How was it that Simeon happened to be in this place at this moment to have this experience? Well, Luke is really clear. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. So Simeon had this experience because Simeon was responsive to a deeper truth, to a deeper reality within himself that brought him to that place where he could see the salvation of the Lord. Heather and I had just finished watching a Netflix limited series. Limited is a good word. And it's very, very difficult to watch, very, very painful, but it's incredible. incredibly well done. It's called Unbelievable. And it's the horrifying but true story of a young woman who lived in Linwood, Washington. She was raped at 18, and she was accused of lying about the rape. It took 3 years for this horrible, tragic injustice to work its way through the chaos of the legal system and eventually come to a place of, in the movie anyway, true and powerful redemption. But there's a moment in the film where one of the two detectives who's been working on this case after more instances have occurred, Karen Duval, and she's talking to her partner, Detective Karen Duval, she's talking to her partner, and she's explaining why it is that she's quite so tenacious, why it is that she's quite so compelled to follow the leads and the possibilities in this case. And she explains about a case when she first became a police officer. And she had this situation where she felt that she should go back to the scene of a crime. And she said, I just had this inner urge that I should go back. I shouldn't leave. She said, I ignored that voice. And something terrible happened. So she said, now, when I hear that little inner urging, and Karen Duval in the film is a devout Christian. The movie makes no excuse, doesn't complain, no mockery. It's absolutely just sincerely, duh, she's a Christian. That's part of her life. She does swear a little bit, warning. But in fact, they all swear. No, they don't swear a little bit. Man, they swear a lot. Just on and on. But it's worth it. She says, now, when I hear that little voice, I have to pay attention. That's what Simeon did. Simeon heard a voice. The New Testament calls it guided by the Spirit. He went into the temple. And because he heeded that voice, because he paid attention, because he listened, his deep inner soul was opened. And he followed that voice to a place of truth and beauty and light and goodness, to the salvation of the Lord. And we need to be encouraged to do that. We need to be encouraged. In the movie, it's so clear that this poor young girl, she's been in the system since she was 3 years old. She's been pushed from pillar to post. Everyone in her life has told her, you don't matter, you're not important, don't listen to yourself, you have no valid perceptions. And eventually, there's a scene in the movie where a counselor finally connects with this still really young girl, 18 years old, and she begins to listen to herself. She begins to find in herself that truth that I believe, and I think Luke believed, is the presence of the Spirit of God. And you've got to ask yourself, where do I go? Where is that voice leading me to go that I can be encouraged to do what Simeon did and take into my arms the presence of beauty and take into my arms the presence of gentleness, the presence of goodness? Where is it that I am being called to go that I can find myself being summoned to hear truth? And you need to go there. You need to pay attention. You need to listen and heed that voice. And it's interesting that we get this little story of Simeon, but then there's an even littler story afterwards about Anna. There was also a prophet, we're told, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So Anna got to have the same experience that Simeon had. But Anna got it just because she was being faithful to what she knew to be true. Every day, She went to the temple of the Lord. She just went through the faithful ritual life of her faith. Because she did that, her heart, like Simeon's heart, opened up. And she saw goodness, strength, and beauty in this baby. Like, what's this baby? It's nothing. It's a poor family. And here's Simeon. Simeon's nobody. We're not told anything. He's not the priest. He's not the president of the temple. He's just an ordinary, simple, devout man, like Anna. And they have this experience because they're faithful to what they know and because they follow the voice of truth within themselves. And you might ask, well, yeah, so what? What's the big deal? Who cares? Why is it important? It's important because Simeon goes on to say to Mary, this child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts, the inner soul of your being will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. This is important because, newsflash, sometimes life is hard. Sometimes we struggle. And if we have not prepared for that struggle by hearing the truth deep in our being, in our inner soul, then we are going to stumble when that struggle comes. You know, there's a website I go to sometimes. It's called The Text This Week. Does that sound like a grabber? It's an amazing website. I don't go there very often anymore. I used to go a lot more than I do. But it's a website that is geared to the readings, to the regular readings of the church here. And it's an amazing just kind of clearinghouse of resources. So you go there and you've got this endless list of people who've preached on these texts, scholars that have written on these texts, and you click on the link and you go to the place where it's spoken about. So that it's more than anybody could ever kind of absorb, or take in, or read. And I've always wondered, like, I wonder who does this? Like, these things don't just fall out of the sky, right? Somebody is out there doing all this. Well, this week, the text this week had a banner across the top. And the banner across the top of the text this week read, "What is happening with the text this week?" And I thought, wow, I've never seen that before. I should go look. So I did. And this is what I read. I am a 61-year-old, now single mother of two adult children. One is 27 and has severe autism. The other is 31 and has schizophrenia, but is not currently correctly controlled. Some of that is her aversion to medication, but part of it is mental health policies. Please don't get me started. I would say bad words. The 31-year-old has a PhD from Harvard and really, really wants to present her first paper as first author at a conference coming up. I'm doing all I can to help everyone to keep connections, make that possible for her if it is safe, to help discern and all of that. She worked very hard on that paper. But everyone concerned is also concerned with her safety and the long term of her career and life in general. Many very good people are trying to help figure out what needs to happen, and I am trying to coordinate their efforts. To put it frankly, I am exhausted. Believe it or not, I did not realize that emotional and physical stress would lead to cognitive stress. Some days I literally cannot think. I could not imagine this would happen, but it can. So I am healing from a very rough 4 years ago, the stresses of which continue. I apologize and ask your patience. I can picture the new site, easy to use and more useful for the 2020s than the one that was created in 1997. Thank you for your patience. Think about that. This woman has been doing this since 1997, and people all over the world have been looking at this website, and the whole time she's been wandering through this painful, difficult, agonizing, troubling, upsetting reality of her life. And you ask yourself, how do you do that? And the answer is, you do it by doing what Simeon and Anna did. You do it by opening to the awareness of a deeper reality in your life. A reality that I saw the moment I held my first child in my arms, and that I've seen in her and in lots of other places almost every day since. A reality that is strong. A reality that does endure. A reality that cannot be overwhelmed or undone. In Christian tradition, we call it love. And we say that we see that reality fully embodied in the person of Jesus, sent to us to show us and to help us open to the salvation of our Lord that is the true inner strength of our nature. So, it is an important day, not just because Rachel was born today, but because it reminds us call upon our deepest nature and to find that truth of our salvation that is the presence of Jesus dwelling in our inner soul.